I'm speaking with Ernie Casbier, who is running for state representative in House District 59 in Central Texas. Ernie, first question, I mean, you ran in 2006 and you're running again in 2008. What made you run in the first place and what made you decide to run again?
Well, in 2006, my opponent, Sid Miller, did not have anyone running against him. No one was wanting to do it. I don't like the way Sid works with the leadership in Austin. I don't like the way Sid votes. I don't think he represents the district. And I think it's time to have someone that represents the district. I'm also a teacher. I just finished my 39th year in the classroom. And as a teacher, the things that the state legislature were doing and Sid Miller's votes were always anti-teacher. So I thought it was time for a change. I came real close to winning in 2006. I lacked 3,000 votes. And I gave people an opportunity to run this time, and no one else really wanted the chance. So I'm not going to let Sid stay there. I'm going to beat him this time.
All right. Well, let's talk about the result in 2006, because the district you're in, if you look at the statewide numbers, you know, the Republicans did very well. I think Kay Bailey Hutchison ran about 17 points better than Sid Miller did, and he's, I believe, a three-term incumbent. You know, to what do you attribute, you know, how well you did? I mean, how much of that was you, and how much of that was him, do you think?
I'll say 50-50. I'm one of the counties in the district. It's Mills County, and I'm a native of Mills County. I have relatives that live in Hamilton County. And the people in Comanche County, that's Sid's hometown or home county, they don't like him. So there's a lot of people that don't like Sid, and there's a whole lot of people that like me. So I think together it added up to where I only lost by, I got 44.5% of the votes. And that was better than most Democrats did in the state.
You know, what did you learn from your experience running the first time, and how has that changed the way you run this time?
I learned that you need to shake more hands, and I think I shook a bunch of hands. Last time I got on the phone every night at 6 o'clock, and I stayed on the phone till 9 o'clock, or I caught someone in bed. This time I'm writing letters to people and getting a better response. So a higher percent of people responding to me because I'm able to catch them with a letter, hand-addressed, than I was on the phone trying to talk to 100 people a night. So that's more effective. Having met people and them knowing who I am has been a big advantage this time also.
I mean, how much has your opponent campaigned?
Well, I was talking to a lady yesterday in De Leon, and I asked her how long it had been since she had seen Sid Miller walk in the streets, and she said, I've never seen him walk in the streets. And you have to understand, De Leon is his hometown. I carried both boxes in De Leon the last time, and I was well received there this past week when I was visiting and campaigning, going all over town. In parades in the area, Sid rides his horse, and I walk among the people. And people say, why don't you get a horse? I said, because I want to look you in the eye and talk to you. And they say, I like that response. They appreciate it. And so that's been a big help, walking parades and shaking hands.
As you say, you've been a classroom teacher for 39 years. Obviously, education issues are always on the forefront of the legislature. As a teacher, what do you want to see the legislature do to improve education in Texas?
Well, there are so many things that they need to do. First of all, Texas leads the nation in dropouts. And we've got one of the lowest SAT, ACT scores around. Now, Sid always says, we have to have accountability. Well, there's a possibilities of accountability without doing the tax test. I think the tax test is failing the students, is forcing us to end the curriculum, which is causing the high dropout rate. We need a complete revision of the education system. Coppers Cove, which is the largest school district in my in District 59, has 21 separate programs where when a student graduates from high school, they can get a job. They can be a registered, LVN, they can be a licensed vet assistant, they can have their beginning work to be an electrician or a plumber and a chef. There are just numerous, 21 different areas. This needs to be available to all students. Not every student, contrary to what the legislature thinks, is going to college. Every student does not need 4 years of math and 4 years of science. They need training in life for those that aren't college bound. Now, if you'll take those students that aren't planning to go to college, that don't want to go, like the one I had this year that wants to be a brick mason, and the one I had last year that wants to be a car mechanic, and get them out of the four-year math classes and four-year science classes, the teachers can help the students go into college and improve their SAT, ACT scores, and you've got accountability on that. If they get a job, you've got accountability here. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
How do you design a curriculum for someone like that who wants to be a brick mason or a car mechanic or a licensed veterinarian tech or whatever?
These programs are out there. Coppers Cove's got them operating. We can use them as a role model. I mean, an ideal school system. Now, I realize Coppers Cove is huge, and you've got a bunch of small schools in the district. You've got Gustine, which is very small. You've got Jonesboro. You've got Hamilton. You've got DeLeon. You're going to have a co-op activity where the students can be co-opted from the different schools that want to have this career training. They can go into a co-op program. The students that want to go to advanced classes and excel, they can do that because they will be slowed down. And the teachers be free from teaching the tax test. I mean, that's all you do is teach a tax test, and that's, you can't teach the students what they need to know.
Well, let's talk about the tax test. I mean, do you believe in the idea of standardized testing and that the tax test is the wrong way of doing it, or do you think the whole thing should be scrapped and the curriculum should be rethought?
The tax test was essential when it came out way back there as the TOS or whatever it was when they brought it up, because at that time Texas was turning out functionally illiterate students. I had them in the class that couldn't read and understand a Reader's Digest, and they couldn't do simple math. And that needed to be adjusted. Okay, we've faced the problem. We said, hey, we've got a problem. We've addressed it. And I think they've gone too far with the tax testing. It's become the curriculum. It's become the only thing to judge anyone by. And that's not a way to judge a teacher. That's not a way to judge a student on a test. A test given on a certain day. Take Coppers Cove. I mentioned before, for example, the tax test 2 years ago was given just after the news that a large number of Fort Hood soldiers had been killed in Iraq. Now, those students went in that, take that test with that in their mind, and they could not perform on that. You can't judge a school district. You can't judge a kid on one set of tests.
Something that the legislature, or at least Governor Perry, has been proposing is teacher incentive pay, or teacher performance pay, performance incentives for teachers. That seems to be unpopular amongst teachers as a general rule. Why is that, and what do you think about it?
Well, let me use my wife, for example. She's a third grade teacher. They have tracking in the third grade school where she teaches. One teacher has the accelerated students. One teacher has the good students. She's stuck with what's called the chapter students because she's a good teacher, she's a strict teacher, and the chapter kids, that's the kids that need more help and more individualized attention and more structure, she works with them. Now, when it comes to test grades, the people that have the best students are going to have high scores. They're going to look really good. And she may have actually made more progress with the students she has than they did, but the grades aren't going to reflect it. And since the grades can't reflect what the teacher has done, there's no way to evaluate them fairly with a test or something like this to give them incentive pay.
So is there some way of doing that fairly, or is the whole idea just not worthwhile?
I think the whole idea is not worthwhile. Let me give you a personal example. My good friend that teaches with me, after 39 years of teaching, I've developed all the materials necessary to teach world history. Well, he came in a few years ago, and he had never taught world history, and he said, hey, Ernie, can I use your materials? Sure, here. He uses all my notes, all my handouts. Anytime I update my materials, which is I do it on a regular basis, I give it to him. So he teaches my class, the same exact class. But he concentrates on the tax test every day for a few minutes in class. I only concentrate on the tax test in my class for 1 week. I just focus hard on it that 1 week. Now, last year, 100% of his students passed the tax test, and I had one that failed, which means, as far as the state's concerned, he's a far better teacher than I am. And yet, he's teaching my material, and be truthful with you, he doesn't get near as far as I do in covering the material that needs to be covered. So I don't think it's a fair evaluation of who to judge on you can't do it fairly. That's the problem. There's no fair way to judge a teacher with test results and these activities to pay them for it.
Now, higher education is in the news in Texas as well. As you know, the legislature in 2003 passed a law that allowed public universities to set their own tuition levels, and this has been very unpopular lately as those tuition levels have increased rapidly. What do you want to see the legislature do about this?
Well, we have to re-regulate tuition. We cannot allow the tuitions to keep going up. The students cannot afford to go to school. If the average student can't afford to go to college, it's going to kill our workforce. The people who are going to be needed in the trained fields are just not going to be there because they can't afford to go to college. It's becoming prohibitive. Going to be more of a class divider than something that's going to unite the people and give us a good, solid workforce. state's going to have to reduce the rates and make them affordable for everybody to attend college. It's not a deal that's going to, they say, oh, it's going to raise our taxes, it's going to cost us now. Well, you know, sometimes you have to invest. It's kind of my tuition is what my neighbor calls it, and the guy who is my campaign treasurer said, you got to pay your tuition. The state needs to pay the tuition so that they can have an educated workforce. It's critical to make sure that your workforce is educated so that you can provide the workers that the employees want in the state of Texas.
Now, Central Texas has been one of the hotbeds over the issue of the Trans-Texas Corridor and toll roads in general. Where do you stand on this?
I'm opposed to the Trans-Texas Corridor. I was opposed to it from the word go. I don't like them coming in and taking property for it with eminent domain and then turning around and giving it to a Spanish company to make a profit on. The big problem with toll roads, they're selling them to foreign countries. And if a foreign country can make money on it, the state of Texas could make money on it. I don't like the concepts of toll roads, but a guy in Copper's Cove has told me that Copper's Cove business leaders want a toll road around Copper's Cove, a loop, to help the city. If the people in the area want it, I'll support it. I won't fight them because that's what they want. I'll go along with it. But in general, I don't think that it's the answer for the state. The Trans-Texas Corridor is going to split the state in half. It's going to go through the best farmland. It's just a bad idea.
Children's health insurance is another issue that the legislature seems to revisit often. As you know, 2003, a bunch of kids were dropped off a CHIP during austere budget times. Some of that has been restored. What do you want to see the legislature do with that?
Well, now, the way I understand it, the federal government had offered the state a lot of money if they would provide the CHIPS program. And when the state did not provide the CHIPS program, the federal government took that money away from Texas and gave it to someone else that would. So it's kind of one of those, again, tuitions, to use a better word. We need to invest a little money from the state level to get more help from the federal government to get our fair share going back to Texas. And we can't just leave kids out. I mean, preventive medicine reduces the cost of health care. If you can prevent illness, if you can prevent disease, if you can prevent problems, you're going to reduce the cost of health care. I was visiting with a lady in Dublin just yesterday in a dentist store, and she said, yeah, we come into here to get our teeth cleaned because that's preventive. And that's what helps us out. And that's what we need to do. We'll, you know, have a CHIPS program that will be a preventive measure to keep insurance down, keep the cost down.
All right. I talk to a lot of candidates about statewide issues, but you know what often turns an election is local stuff. What's the biggest local issue in your district?
Mills County has a big issue on the water board, and I'm going to go to a meeting on there next week. They're discussing regulating the wells and putting a fee for a production of water. I was in a water meeting in Dublin yesterday, and the injection wells are a major issue in the Erath and Comanche counties. That's a big problem. The pollution of the Leon and the Bosque Rivers is a problem. And then the city of Waco gets real mad at the dairies and has forced a bunch of dairymen to move out of the northern part of my district, going to places where they're not going to have some big city yelling at them. This is something that needs to be addressed. I mean, you've got problems that are local, and one of the biggest causes, in my opinion, of the pollution in the Bosque and Leon rivers is the wild hog, the feral hog population, which is increasing. And the state, I think, needs to do something to address the feral hog population, which is a major contributor to pollution of those rivers.
Okay. You know, all across Texas, and I'm sure you'll see it here at the convention, there's a lot of optimism and energy about the state becoming more democratic and more receptive to a democratic message, less, you know, reflexively Republican. Do you see that in District 59, which again historically has voted pretty traditionally Republican?
District 59 was developed to be a Republican district, and my opponent Sid Miller has said that a Democrat will never be elected. I'm going to prove him wrong this time. Yes, there are Republicans that are listening to the changing what's going on. They don't like what happens in the state. I was talking to a Republican just recently, and he said, well, I'm kind of like your opponent. I said, that's fine. Do you like Rick Perry? He said, no. And he used some expletives. And I said, what about Tom Craddock? And the expletives got louder. And I said, well, Sid Miller works for them. He said, I'm not voting for Sid Miller. And I've talked to a large number of Republicans that are thinking that way. And as I told a guy yesterday, we don't need necessarily in that area Republican and Democratic parties. We need a District 59 political party, a political party that will function and think bar District 59, where everybody can talk to you. And that's what I've tried to do, talk to everybody. I want to represent all the people, not just the Democrats. Represent everyone and give everyone equal chance to come talk to me.
You have said in some campaign materials that you call yourself a conservative Democrat. What does that mean?
Well, Mills County, Comanche County, and Hamilton County still have all the local officials elected as Democrats. Okay, it's kind of like being a moderate Republican. You have this basic ideas. I want to keep my guns. I'm not opposed to the death penalty. I want the party, though, to take care of the people that need taken care of. It's the old traditional yellow dog deal that my father, grandfather, and the whole area came up with. My grandfather's lecture to the students, my siblings, all the grandkids was, there's two things you have to do, boy. That is, you have to love your mother and vote Democratic and do it in that order. And that is just an old traditional concept.
Okay. When you get to Austin in January 2009, what's the first bill you want to pass?
I think we need to start with education, the idea of reorganizing the education system. We need to give the state, the schools, back control of the calendar. This idea that we're going to not start until way late so that people can have vacations in Texas has been killed because the schools are going to be going till the 15th or so of June and starting late in August. Now tell me, when would you rather take a vacation, the first part of June or the last part of August? I mean, it's a no-brainer. They need to be restored control of the calendar. And there's a big problem that's been going on with this. The control of the calendar, the fiscal year is September 1st, but schools have been starting in August. The fiscal year needs to be moved back to August 1st so that on August 1st you can buy your supplies, you can work. There are teachers that start working in August and they don't get their first paycheck until the end of September. And that's a long time to go without a paycheck.
All right. Ernie Casbier, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.